we have this responsibility and privilege of sharing the gospel with others from one generation to another, passing down the goodness and the promises of God. It's even our Savior Jesus, who looking at kids who are helpless and defenseless and vulnerable and completely dependent upon others, he said, "Let the little children come to me and don't stop them, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Jesus wanted children to come because they have intrinsic value and worth created in the image of God. And in many ways, we are to become like children and being dependent upon him. But we have a privilege and responsibility as fathers, as mothers, as the body of Christ, to point children to our Heavenly Father. Dads, grand responsibility is there because children need encouraging adults. Moms and dads, grandparents, aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters in Christ, to exemplify the love of our Heavenly Father and demonstrate that love and that faithfulness to our Father who sent his Son Jesus to live on this earth, to walk a sinless life, to be the perfect sacrifice, to die on the cross in our place and to rise from the dead so that we can have an eternal relationship with him. That's why we do VBS. That's why we have student ministry, because we want to point kids to the great Savior, Jesus, who died to rescue them. And as fathers and as the body of Christ, there's some things that we see scripturally, and there's some things that we see practically that are essential in us reaching the hearts and lives of children. Because you don't have to look too far around us to see that our children are at risk in the church and in our community. And we need to be those godly, Christ-like examples who not only talk about the Bible, but live it and exemplify the love of Christ. So let me just point out some significant things for us to keep in mind, not only this week during Vacation Bible School, but every day as we let the children come to us and invite them to come to us as we point them to our Heavenly Father. One of the first things that comes to mind is that every child needs some focused attention. Every child needs some focused attention. And one of the reasons for that is because the one thing which affects most families adversely is the lack of focused attention. That good people, even godly people, are often very busy people, allowing their children to grow up without taking the time to specifically invest in them. It's no different for me and my family. I mean, we're just as busy as anyone else. And I've got to keep this in the forefront of my mind that when I stand before the Lord, before he ever asks me how I did as a shepherd, he's going to ask me first questions about being a faithful husband and about being a faithful father that gave my kids the attention that they not only deserve, but they need. You know, most of us, I realize, don't have unlimited time, and so it's not a matter of saying, am I giving my kids as much time as I give to my work? That's just never going to work, is it? But like the great example that Annika gave this morning, of saying, dads, when we get home and we're tired, our job is not over. In fact, it's just beginning. The most important thing of connecting and giving our kids attention. Because one of the most encouraging things any parent can do is give each of our kids personal, individual, undivided text messages away, Facebook out of our face, to give our kids the attention that they deserve. You know, one of the things that I think is significant for all of us, and we've tried to do this as much as we can, is at least one night a week. And it got more and more challenging as our kids got older and we're going to share a meal. At least one night a week to sit down at the dinner table together and to share a meal, where we can give each and every one of us some individual attention of what's going on, what's happening in our lives. Sometimes it's serious, most of the time it's not. It's just hanging out and being together as a family. That's why it's so important for dads to play catch with their sons, or to play checkers or chess. You know, there have been so many studies, and I heard a great TED Talk this past week of how important it is for parents to read with their kids, especially when they're young. That undivided attention and reading to them, and later reading with them, and later hearing them read is a part of this giving them individual attention, not only helping them educationally, but most of the time, reading a story, kids are crawling all over you when they're young. Listening, just sharing those moments together. And when the kids get older, to show them some attention. I've shared with some of you before that the one of the things that I loved about having my kids in sports, and I know not everybody has athletic kids, but I was able to go and watch soccer practices or baseball practices or football or whatever, and I was able to observe some things on the field, attitudes, behaviors, character, and then talk about it later. A reference point for me to be observe them and then give them some attention that's focused. It may not be sports, it may be something else. But it's more than just dropping the kids off. It's interacting with their lives. One of the things I miss the most now that my kids are driving is time to and from school. I was literally grieving this past year. I'm glad my kids are driving and that God provided vehicles and that they've been safe and are great drivers. But that individual attention of just being in the car, that moment when they get out of school and are ready to talk about it. Every child needs focused attention. And we show our kids love and encouragement by giving them time and making them a priority. Let's do that, dads and moms and church. Secondly, related to that, every child needs some individual affirmation. Each child needs to understand their uniqueness because each and every child is different. It's the same in my home, and I'm sure it's in the same in yours. They have different interests and abilities and talents and struggles. And it's our privilege and responsibility as the body of Christ, as the family of God, as well as parents and grandparents, to help our kids figure out who they are and to help them become who God plans for them to be, who God planned for them to be before they were even born. It's our privilege and joy and challenge to figure that out. You know, Solomon reminds us of this in maybe one of the best known proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, the emphasis of this training and the way should go is on the importance of adjusting our training, adjusting our conversations, adjusting our discipline based upon the individual needs of each child, the abilities of each child, and each stage of development. And one of the things that is new for us, where I'm relying on some guys who are older than me, is now we've got a 21-year-old who's about to graduate from college and go into the military. Our parenting has to change. And I need help from some guys who are further down the road with me to help me figure out how do I now train an adult son to continue following the Lord so that he will follow the Lord. The same with our daughter and our other son. Children are encouraged when we affirm their individuality in the direction that God is leading them and helping them to find that. Some kids are athletic, some are not. Some kids are musical, and others are not. Some kids are introverts, others are incredibly loud. They're all different. But each child in our family and in our church is uniquely different and needs individual affirmation. We love and encourage our children by accepting their unique personalities and their individual qualities. How do we do that? Well, just in watching and observing them, saying things like, you know, I noticed that you're really good at this. I'm proud of you for doing that. To watching them, observing them, and having the courage to engage and to connect. Because each of our kids in our family and in our church need individual affirmation. And it's not just children. It's teenagers. It's young adults. It's senior adults. We're all kids who need affirmation. Third, it seems that every child needs some genuine appreciation. What's the thing that you can do to encourage your kids or your grandkids the most? Encourage them with words. Speak truth about who they are and what you see. As you affirm them individually, they need some genuine appreciation with words. Maybe one of the significant negative things that the scripture says about fathers is in Colossians chapter 3, where Paul says in chapter 3:21, fathers, do not exasperate your children so they won't become discouraged. Don't exasperate them so they won't become discouraged. The nuance is don't turn your kids away by constant criticism. Instead of noticing what's going wrong, instead, notice what's going right. By constantly criticizing them and correcting them, not that that isn't important at times, but it's more important that we encourage them and affirm them, appreciate them. Because constant criticism can bring a child down and break their heart like nothing else. What's the most important thing that we can do for our kids verbally? To show them some appreciation. To learn how to be a cheerleader. To recognize the things that they're doing right. To look for those things. And oftentimes as parents and even as teachers, as those in the church, what often stands out is what's going wrong, right? That flag that is raising, the issue that needs to be addressed. Those things are easy to spot, and we're quick to pounce on those things. It takes some intentionality to show some genuine appreciation, words of encouragement, words of support. I think in this generation of our children and students, they need that more than any other time. With the advent of social media comes this comparison, fake comparison, based on pictures or likes or words. Our children and our students are constantly being criticized, either verbally or non-verbally. What do they need from us, family? They need some genuine appreciation and words of encouragement for us to catch them doing the right things and build them up. We love and encourage our children by looking for their good rather than their bad and us being their cheerleaders. I don't think anyone was ever ruined by having a cheerleader. We can't spoil our kids by encouraging them too much. We can harm them by not correcting them and disciplining them in love. But we got to be quick to encourage. Fourth, every child needs physical attention. Every child needs some physical affection. We've got to love our kids in physical, appropriate ways. Now, I was staggered by some statistics that someone shared with some of the leadership here in our church as we're looking at security and safety, that one out of every four girls is molested. And it's one out of every six for boys. You know, we need this place, a safe place, both in the family and in the church, where there's appropriate affection. In the homes, especially for us dads, it is critical that we protect our sons and our daughters, but that doesn't keep us from loving them and touching them and hugging them appropriately. We got to let them know that they're loved. You know, probably like me, you've heard all kinds of studies, especially studies that have come out of orphanages where infants did not have enough physical contact and it impacted them for the rest of their lives, mentally and emotionally, psychologically. It's so important for, especially for newborns and infants, the skin-to-skin contact, not even necessarily with the mom, with their birth mom, with a person. And that doesn't change after they're no longer infants. It continues on to the toddler years, to the elementary years, to the teenager years, and continuing for teenagers. For kids, they need physical touch that's appropriate, that's encouraging. Sometimes, and I think probably most often just in church, it's a high five or a knuckle. What do you call it? Fist bump. Couldn't think of what you call it. A fist bump, just something like that. And I think there are times we need to be really careful. And I've got to be careful. I'm a hugger. I've got to be really careful and cautious that it's appropriate. I'm an equal opportunity hugger. But not when I'm alone. Only when I'm in public and if it's mutual. I'm known to hug guys, so you know, you guys just deal with that. Because we need that. Boys need a dad who will wrestle with them. Get down on the ground in that contact. I think my last wrestling match with my oldest son happened at Thanksgiving. I ended up with several carpet burns. You may recall after Thanksgiving, I had one on my forehead. I was like, okay. I think that's the last time that I could actually pin Michael. And not long after that, he had me down on the ground, like, okay, I think that's it. I think Stephen's got me, at least physically. I think I still got him mentally. But it's important for dads to wrestle with their sons. It's important for dads to play tea party and dress up with their daughters. That kind of physical affection. Being involved. Again, reading where they're sitting on our laps. Maybe where it starts to get a little, I don't know, is when our little boys and little girls start to become young men and young boys. But our daughters and our sons still need hugs. In fact, I'm going to say this to you dads and daughters. Every day, you should be giving each other a hug. It's important. I can't find a verse for that in Scripture. I actually looked. Maybe the closest thing is greet each other with a holy kiss. But it's important in our development, our relationship with one another. We love and encourage our children by showing them with appropriate physical touch that they're important and that we love them. Quickly moving on, every child needs not just the physical things and the emotional things, but specifically some spiritual direction. Every child needs spiritual direction in their lives. You know, one of the things that I notice is how many parents give attention to their kids' grades and are constantly asking and checking grades and seeing how that goes. I also notice a lot of parents are actively involved in their kids' sporting activities and events and watching scores and averages and all those kind of things. But what seems to be strangely missing is how many parents focus on grades or sports but give little attention to their kids' relationship with God. And it seems that many parents, especially dads, when it comes to giving spiritual direction to their kids, are strangely silent. But when dads simply take enough time to ask about how you're doing, how can I pray for you? When dads say, hey, here's something I read this morning as I was reading the Bible, or here's something that I thought about from my Life Connection class or my Tuesday morning or Tuesday evening Bible study, here's something I'm struggling with. That takes some courage, dads. It doesn't come natural. It doesn't come easy. But it's critical that we as dads not only provide and protect our kids, but direct them spiritually. We care about the grades, but do we care about the relationship with God? We care about their batting average, but do we care about their church attendance and their part in the community of Plano Bible Chapel. The Bible, surprisingly, or not surprisingly, isn't silent. Deuteronomy chapter 6, as God the Father forms his chosen people into a nation, says, "This is the command, the statutes, and the ordinances. These that the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you. Do this so that you may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life by keeping all his statutes and commands I'm giving you, your son and your grandson, so that you may have a long life." Verse 4, "Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart." And what do we do with this? Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand, and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your city gates. In other words, wherever you go, whatever you're doing, whatever you're talking about, include God in the conversation. Make it become a natural part of your communication with your kids. And talking about their friendships, what does God care about their friendships? And talking about their homework, where does God fit into that? And talking about your struggles as an employee or as a boss, as a husband or a spouse. We talk about these things because our primary purpose as God's people is to love him and to demonstrate that love, especially to our sons and daughters, to our grandsons and our granddaughters. And together as the body of Christ, to do this together. Not just 1 week during the year of EVS, but year round. At every opportunity to talk about God's love for us and his desire that we respond in love as well. We love and encourage our children by pointing them to the God who created them, who redeemed them, and is their constant friend. Sixth, every child needs biblical illustrations. Not just text, but pictures. And that's us. Children learn best by what they see the most. Children learn how to follow God and to love him by seeing that in our lives. It's just the continuation of talking about it, but actually living it. Children discover who they are by illustration and then by imitation of following us, not as perfect people, but those who need God's grace and forgiveness, and then imitating us as we follow the Lord. To the Corinthians, Paul said, "Imitate me as I also imitate Christ." And that's really what we're saying to our kids. Not only in our family, but in our church. Follow us as we're pursuing Christ. And as we're following him, hey, we're going to stumble and fall as well. And so don't follow me. Follow the one that I'm following. Imitate me in the things that not that I'm doing perfectly, but because my desire, my purpose is to imitate Christ. To know him from his word and to live that out. To be encouraged and challenged and affirmed. Pushed on and having others as our cheerleaders to set a godly, Christ-like example for our kids, both in our homes and in our church. We demonstrate to our kids what really matters, not just by our words, but more by our actions. How do we handle stress? Our kids know. How do we act when we've been wronged? Our kids know. How do we handle financial pressures? Our kids know. How do we resolve conflict? Or don't? Our kids know. If we want them to be those who handle stress well, who know how to resolve conflict, who know how to control their emotions by the control of the Holy Spirit, we can't just talk about it. We can't just teach them. they're going to see it more by how we handle that. And then how we share that and share our struggles and how we resolve conflicts, how we communicate, how we are angry and yet work through that, how we're hurt and how we grieve and yet trust in the Lord. Every child needs a biblical illustration, but not just from their parents. That's where we all come together. And maybe of all these things, this is the most significant. To have Sunday school teachers and Awana leaders, junior high leaders, and Be One, Make One mentors. A wide variety of personalities and different people in all kinds of different shapes to illustrate and to set an example of what it looks like to follow Jesus Christ. And we do this together. And this is a great week for it. 5 days in a row for us to be around each other and for kids to see all kinds of different examples of imperfect but godly men and women who are following after Christ. Because number 7 is the most important. Every child needs eternal salvation. Every child needs to have a personal relationship with Jesus where they trust and believe that Jesus walked on the earth, lived a sinless life so that he could die in their place and rise from the dead. What is the gospel? It's simply trusting that Jesus died on the cross in our place and rose from the dead. And because of his finished work on the cross and the empty tomb, that we have been reconciled with the holy God and can know him and live with him forever. God's desire is for every child to come to faith in Christ. In 1 Timothy, Paul says, God, our Savior, wants everyone to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. That's our mission as a church, to lead all people, including and especially children and students, to lead all people to a life-changing, ever-growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And that happens by faith. We love and encourage our children by sharing the gospel with them and praying that they will place their trust in Christ. That's what Vacation Bible School is all about. Wanting to see kids come to a knowledge of the truth and to be saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Betty, that's why we've done all this work this week and for the last several weeks. Karen, that's why you've sacrificed and served. Scott, that's why you've invested your creative gifts in this ship. Esther, that's why you're giving up time from your family and with your family, your whole family, to make decorations. My crew leaders, you're going to be up here and exhausted after every night of pouring your lives into kids. Same for our crafts and our preschool leaders. You know, we have almost 100 and maybe even more than that. Almost, if not more than 100 people from Plano Bible Chapel volunteering this week. That is just amazing. And why are we doing it? Because it's God's will that everyone, including our children and our students, come to a knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for their sins and rose from the dead so that they can live with him forever. We love and encourage our children by sharing the gospel with them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and don't stop them, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." That's our privilege. That's our responsibility as fathers, as mothers, as the family of God. Let's...